All right, we're got another episode of NonPro. It's going to be all dinosaucers, all episode long.
Dinosaucers.
Do-do-do-do-do-do. I'm hoping you all just listened to our latest episode of Near Mint, or else this is going to make no sense. And also, this is going to kind of be a spoiler for literally one joke towards the end of that episode. But hey, we're non-productive. I'm Frank, and that's Pete, and that's Ken, and that's Michelle. We're going to talk to you about pop culture stuff. Hi, everyone.
Hey.
Hi.
There's kind of a theme for tonight. It's going to be melodrama. I really do think everything we want to talk about today involves a lot of melodrama. So let's start off with the thing that is of most interest to the most amount of people because it just happened. Actually, didn't two of our things happen at the same time? Were they opposite? Was Royal Rumble opposite Rent?
Yes, it was.
Good. Royal Rumble or Rent? Let's do Royal
it's like
Rumble.
The combined duo of that forced them to do the Pro Bowl earlier in the day,
so
the people would watch the Pro Bowl.
What happened to the Pro Bowl? Does anyone know?
Apparently, some people played football, but nobody really wants to see.
And the NFC won.
Oh, good. NFC won, I guess. Whatever. We're not going to have another episode before the Super Bowl hits. Does anybody want to make a prediction? Let's start it off with something I'm gonna predict.
I'm gonna say no Star Wars trailer.
All right, no.
Yeah. I just hope the Patriots don't win. I don't really have any other. I feel like that's everyone though.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyone other than the Patriots winning, stadium collapse. As long as no one dies, I'm not a monster here. But like, you know, mostly a monster. Yeah.
Hey, we're nerds, people.
Yeah, that's true. Well, sports bowl. No, it's boring. It's just boring when it's the Patriots every year. Mm-hmm. So this probably would have been better at the end of the podcast. But hey, Patriots fans, please don't unsubscribe. We need you. All right, cool. Let's talk about the Royal Rumble first. So apparently, we had a very active thread on the fan club, but I did not get a chance to watch it, so you guys are going to have to catch me up. I know the two of you watched it. Michelle and I have not watched it, right? You haven't watched it yet?
No, but I'm reading a recap now, and I'm not happy about the results.
All right, let's hear it, guys.
Yeah, okay, so I don't think we need to go into much of the kickoff show, although I will note that that Shinsuke Nakamura defeated Rusev.
That's cool.
For to win the U.S. title.
Right.
So a Japanese guy beat a Bulgarian guy to win the U.S. title.
Yeah,
Shinsuke's been around for a while now, and he's got his violin guys.
Mm. Now there's words.
Oh, there are?
Yeah,
I haven't watched in a long time.
Yeah, he got words when he became a bad guy. So.
Oh no, he's a heel?
Yeah, Shinsuke's a heel.
Oh, yeah.
Shinsuke's been a heel for a while.
All right,
I'm sorry.
I quit WWE.
Oh, man.
It's
going to
make the rest of this podcast real quick.
Wow. This is going to be a long recap for you.
it's been a minute.
If that hurts, I've completely made my peace with Shinsuke being a bad guy.
All right, but I still think that's interesting, but go on after the opening.
Okay, so we had the SmackDown Women's Championship opened the match. And we saw Asuka versus Becky Lynch.
That's right.
And I was kind of surprised that Asuka beat Becky.
Yeah, she did retain.
Makes more sense now. It was a pretty good match.
Yeah, we were kind of curious as to why something like that. Like, there wasn't a title change, considering how much of a push Becky has from the audience right now, and people are loving her character.
Mm.
So
I have heard again from the thread that a lot of the women matches were much more exciting or interesting than the men's matches.
This is something I've always said, and for a while it was. I usually attributed it to the women were hungrier. You know, the women felt that they had more to prove, so they had a tendency to put on more consistently.
Well,
great matches.
And I think back in the day, too, like late 90s, early 2000s, I mean, again, some of the best matches were the women's matches where you had high flyers like Lita that were just ridiculously talented, and women like Trish Stratus that was very green when she first came in and learned the business really well and actually became a very solid wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing the two of them go at it back in the day was incredible. And then we had a weird lull after that era.
I will say that I think there was that lull there, and a lot of young girls were inspired by Trish and Lita.
Mm-hmm.
And I think during that lull, a lot of those young girls matured and got to the point where they were now able to step into the spotlight
and emulate their heroes. Yeah,
that's
and
pretty cool.
I think that says a lot about the timing now, which is not to say that nothing good was happening in the interim, but it was not.
It was not
great. A highlight.
No,
right. Sort of like Ms. Marvel kind of picking up the reins after Captain Marvel got a lot of the spotlight for a few years.
Yeah, let's go with that.
I'm just bringing it back to comics because it's my only North Star.
Well, you'd appreciate, I think, the tag team championships, the SmackDown tag team championships, currently or at that point held by The Bar, Sheamus and Cesaro, who's from Switzerland. It's important that you never forget that Cesaro's from Switzerland.
Okay. Mental note.
Yeah. It won't go anywhere, so don't worry. Okay. Good one. But they faced the best tag team in the world, Shane McMahon and The Miz.
The Miz.
And to everyone's surprise, Shane and The Miz... One,
yeah, they are,
and
now
are the new tag team champions.
Really?
So it's good when your daddy owns the company.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what though? I don't take anything away from Shane McMahon. He's really solid.
That was a sick moonsault.
Yeah.
That he pulled off.
Like when it's always one of those times where as soon as you see him climb the turnbuckle during a match, it's usually that moment where you're actually ready to hold your breath saying, what's he going to try to do this time?
Usually.
What's he going to try to do? That feels like somebody breaks their nickel off.
Well, you look at him and know who he is, and like you don't always associate him with actually being an in-ring guy.
Yeah.
But he always surprises. Really.
Yeah, he's not an in-ring guy.
He's trained, but you know.
Yeah, this is not a guy who is in the shape that he can go week after week and do professional wrestling shows. But every once in a while, he has the capability of busting out some really jaw-dropping stuff, and he's got the willingness to put his body on the line, which I give him tremendous credit for.
I mean, all the things he's jumped off of in his career. The Titantron, a Hell in a Cell, into an announce table. I mean,
famous,
the guy's nuts.
He's famous for a move people refer to as coast-to-coast, or going coast-to-coast, where he knocks out an opponent in one corner of the ring. Usually hands him a garbage can or something
to hold on to keep in front of him.
Then he goes to
the
opposite turnbuckle, climbs up, and jumps across the ring
and does a kick slide, directly into him.
See, this is ballet. This is just beautiful.
Oh no, it's ballet with violence.
Yeah,
that's all it is.
Oh, man.
So yeah, in this
why don't they just call it that? That would be so cool. Can you imagine like older ladies with the monocles, the opera glasses, and the gents with the monocles?
Listen, they did it back in the day on Glow. Go back and watch it.
Did they? Wait, they
had two old biddies that would get in the ring. Oh yeah.
I wasn't saying in the ring, Ken. I was saying watching.
No, in
all
the
right,
ring.
You're going for it. Cool. The Golden Girls.
So moving on to the next match, the Raw Women's Championship. Now, Sasha Banks challenging Rowdy Ronda Rousey.
Okay, this one I'm actually interested in.
Yeah, I gotta be honest. I was not a fan of the match.
On paper, I was about it, but I actually thought it was a pretty decent match, to be honest. It went better than I had it pictured in my head, let's put it that way.
I actually, on the opposite end, I thought it would be a great match, which it just didn't pan out for me.
You know, I like that the fact that they're allowing Ronda to show a range where she has the potential of possibly being beaten by somebody.
Yeah, so how is she in general on the circuit? How does she come off?
I think that she, from when she first started, I think she's progressing. I think she's evolving into the role.
She is a very green professional wrestler.
Yeah.
It's like she clearly has the physical ability to do pretty much anything.
Yeah, I don't think it was a question.
Yeah,
it was just whether she was fun to watch.
Yeah, it's
as
a question
wrestler.
Of learning the ropes, and I would say that she's head and shoulders above the average person who has been training as a professional wrestler for 1 year.
Mm-hmm. She's very tall.
Yeah, she was.
Get it?
No, I got it.
Yes. Head and shoulders.
Yes,
but she was thrust into the spotlight early,
very quickly, and that usually doesn't work.
And I give her tremendous credit. She's shown constant improvement,
yeah,
and real dedication to doing this well. So I give her credit for that.
All right, cool.
Yeah. In the end, Ronda retained. And that brought us up to the Women's Royal Rumble. The Royal Rumble match, for those of you who don't know, is a 30-person over-the-top rope battle royal.
This is all I used to watch as a kid. All I ever cared about was this. I was like, just get everybody in together. I don't care.
It starts off with two people in the ring, and then
every 90 seconds,
another person enters. And the point is to not pin or submit your opponent, but to lift them up, or however means you can, get them to go over the top rope and have both feet touch the floor.
Right.
So that's the basics of what the Royal Rumble is. And it's always fun. You usually have great surprise entries.
Let's quickly go around table, and if we can, and say what our favorite Royal Rumble memories are. I can't remember the year because we did not prep this. So one of mine was when the classics came, the WWF classics were all brought back. They were all old men at this point.
Frank, you are not remembering a Royal Rumble.
What was that?
That was at WrestleMania 18, was it?
18, or I think
something like that. But you are remembering the gimmick battle royal.
Over the top gimmick battle royal.
They just called it the gimmick battle royal, but it was over the top rules.
Okay, well, yeah, that's what I definitely am remembering.
When at one point, like, the gobbledygooker came out?
Yep.
I don't remember that.
You remember, was it Nikolai Volkoff, I think?
Yes.
Nikolai Volkoff, no, wasn't
it? Iron Sheik took, like, an hour to get to the ring.
It was Iron Sheik that got lapped.
Yeah.
Like, Iron Sheik was, like, marching to the ring as fast as he could, but whoever was next in the order... like, got called before he got to the ring and actually passed the Iron Sheik.
Good, yes.
Which is funny because I think Sheiky won.
Yes, that's
Sheiky what Baby
I,
won that.
Yeah, and I just loved that because it was just everything I wanted about wrestling. It was a bunch of old gimmicks and very old men throwing each other out of a ring. And I'm like, you know what? It doesn't matter. They are definitely injuring themselves.
Oh, yes.
None of them are going to bed without Icy Hot.
Well, that's one of the nice things about the Royal Rumble is you never know when something like that is going to happen.
Right.
And, you know, I'll toss out nerd alert for this one. I'm sure you don't know her, Frank, but there is a wrestler out there named Zelina Vega. Right now she's acting mostly as the valet for Andrade, who we've discussed before, who was previously known as Andrade Cien Almas, which translates roughly to Andre of the 100 Mongolian Sasquatches.
Okay.
But
sure.
They actually... Whatever. Dropped the 100 Mongolian Sasquatches, and he's now just Andrade.
Good, yeah. That seems more...
But Zelina Vega came out in a Vega costume.
Oh, really? Street Fighter
complete
Vega.
Complete with mask and claws.
Nice. Good.
And then ran in and proceeded to immediately hide under the ring.
All right.
Where she stayed for a while. This is a common strategy.
About a quarter of the match.
Not a bad idea, actually. Yeah.
She stayed there for a while... frequently poking her head out to remind you that she was there, which is weird.
Which, you know, they normally don't do.
Until she was eventually flushed out of the ring by Hornswoggle.
Oh, wow.
Hornswoggle.
I really thought we had heard the end of him.
The leprechaun of the WWE.
Yes. Yeah. Oh. A little person wrestler.
Yeah.
He might prefer midget. I don't know.
Yeah.
it was originally... revealed to have been Vince McMahon's son.
Oh, this is just...
Although that was fake. Finley was actually his father.
Apparently later on, yes.
Why is any of this...
It's like comics, Frank. It always gets
retconned. You wanted melodrama, Frank.
Yeah, all right. Good, good, good. Well, so who was that little frog that became Thor?
That was Throg. That's comic books.
Good, got it.
But yeah, you want drama? One of the female wrestlers, Rusev's wife...
Lana
was injured during Rusev's match with Shinsuke Nakamura.
Oh.
And she tried to limp her way out to the ring, but, like, couldn't make it out. And as that's going on...
While officials are attending to her.
Yeah, the medical staff are checking on her, and Becky Lynch came out.
Okay.
Having already lost to Asuka, but demanded that since Lana couldn't make it to the ring... that she be given her place. Mm-hmm. And eventually they assented, and Becky took her spot in the Royal Rumble.
You see, people, more people would watch the Olympics if they followed these rules, where eventually someone could just demand something and get it. I like this.
It's like Nancy Kerrigan and Tonya Hart.
Yeah, yeah, it was that, effectively the same thing.
I believe that was the highest rated Olympics ever.
Yeah. Wait.
At least in the United States.
Because we're Nancy awful had people. A bit of a limp, and yeah. Tonya decided she was going to jump in and take her place.
Yeah.
That sounds like
yeah,
how I remember.
That's kind of how it went, right?
The documentary, yeah.
Basically. So, bottom line, Becky Lynch won. She wasn't even supposed to be in it, but she won.
All right. That's interesting.
And the fans went nuts.
Yeah.
Did the other wrestlers go nuts?
They didn't seem to be that really upset.
Okay. Well, Charlotte was a little upset.
Well, Charlotte's always upset.
Yeah. And we're going to see where that goes. I think probably next week on SmackDown, we're going to get an indication.
Oh, you think they're gonna have it out?
I think there's going to be a little something. They kind of had it out here, but now...
I think they're setting the stage for WrestleMania.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure we're going to see Becky Lynch versus Charlotte Flair versus Ronda Rousey for the Women's Championship.
That would be exciting.
Which has been rumored for a long time. But we move on to the WWE Championship. Daniel Bryan, the champion, versus AJ Styles.
Oh.
Huge fan of AJ Styles.
Oh, absolutely.
Guy's phenomenal in the ring. I have been watching so much of following Daniel Bryan's progression, but he's obviously a heel now.
Yes. I'm a big fan of Daniel Bryan, but not heel Daniel Bryan.
Oh, when did that happen? When did he become
that's
a heel?
Fairly recent. A few months after he was granted permission to wrestle again. Because he was actually banned from wrestling because of concussion issues.
Yeah, that's the last I heard. I did not realize he had come back, let alone come back as a heel.
Yeah, he came back last year after WrestleMania at some point, I believe. Mm-hmm. And has been wrestling since. But now has turned heel and is the very much the obnoxious super vegan, super clean living.
Is that
kind
of
thing?
Oh, is his gimmick the like left wing
he
heel
has been,
thing?
He has been going on and off for a couple of months about being upset that they use leather for the WWE Championship belt.
Uh huh.
And as of last night on the SmackDown following Royal Rumble, he debuted a new championship belt made of hemp.
All right.
Why don't they just use vegan leather? It's a thing.
I think they want to lean yeah. on the
I see
booze.
That, yeah. but like, come on.
It's almost like
they would save money.
I've heard that his left leaning. I didn't know it was Daniel Bryan who was this person, but there was a left leaning heel. But that he is being adopted by the left because like. That to me is hilarious. I think that's great. Like I'm not offended that he's doing that. I actually think it's hilarious.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
But you're a fan. You were a fan of his originally. Is that what you think? You're just heartbroken.
Well, he's been a heel before, though.
Yeah,
and I don't know. This gimmick
WWE
is weird.
Usually tries to turn him into a heel when they want to bury him.
Yeah.
Because the fans usually are just so behind him.
Yeah.
Like, the fans love him.
Yeah.
I don't know why they gotta work against type.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. It's something different.
Yeah. So. It wasn't the greatest match. It was all right.
No. Nah. And he retained.
Okay.
So Daniel Bryan is still the champ. Thanks to a convenient helping hand by a returning Eric Rowan.
Right.
Who we still have no explanation as to why they are together, why he's helping. But he's now appears to be officially Daniel Bryan's stooge. They're in like the evil beard club now. Which took us to Brock Lesnar versus Finn Balor for the Universal Championship.
So excited for this one, actually. A huge Finn Balor fan.
I really wanted to be excited for it. But knowing WWE,
they
it's like I didn't
pull the rug out from me every time Brock yeah. Lesnar comes out there. Most of the time,
it's like the shtick with Brock Lesnar is everybody knows he's going to win. But they do little things to make you think.
To give you a little bit of hope.
It's like, maybe this is going to be it.
This time.
Brock Lesnar is very much a football. The WWE is Lucy Van Pelt. And we are Charlie Brown. I'll put it that way.
That's actually a really good analogy.
Isn't it?
All right, good.
You believe it. This time, we're going to see he's going to lose. It's going to be the underdog who wins. This has got to be the guy. He deserves it so much.
Nope.
And he's trying so hard. No.
Mm.
Nope. It's like, and Finn Balor could be, you know,
well,
not exactly have the upper hand.
Well, you know what? There's been a thing, too, where lately, guys going up against Lesnar, instead of getting dominated, they start the opponent comes out guns blazing. Like, they're actually getting shots in and bringing
them
down.
They've got momentum.
So they're trading, performance for success.
Yeah. And,
they do really well, but they still lose.
Yeah.
But now it's gotten to a point where when the match starts and the opponent is really on top of Lesnar, bringing him down early, it's like, I know where this is going.
Yeah.
And the worst thing about it is, and this match was a perfect example of it, when it happens, it's like this snap. It's like Finn is on top. He's winning. He's almost got him. He's had like three near falls. And then all of a sudden, boom, he gets put in, what is it, the Kimura clutch or whatever. And he's tapping out.
Yeah.
Two seconds. It's like watching a Ronda Rousey MMA match.
Yeah. I mean, when you talk to pro wrestlers and you hear stories, you talk about storytelling in the ring and psychology in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
There really wasn't any storytelling.
It was just
let's just tease the audience.
Yeah. That's very interesting. All right. How did it all wrap up?
Well, Brock won that one.
Yeah.
And then we get finally at like 11 o'clock.
Oh my God, it was such a late
so long. We got to the actual Royal Rumble match, the men's Royal Rumble match, which was, I mean, your standard fare. There were some pretty good surprises.
I wouldn't say. There's only one I could think of. Really. I was surprised to see Jeff Jarrett in his old 80s, 90s gear for an old man.
Which did not look good.
No.
Well, who amongst us could say our 80s and 90s gear
Frank,
look
do me
good?
A favor.
Yeah.
See if you can go online and call up an image of Jeff Jarrett.
All right.
Royal Rumble 19.
Yeah. And then you decide, or you tell me.
If they should have gone out.
Because I don't know if you remember Jeff Jarrett.
All right. Who wants to describe
him? No, you're seeing him in his jacket. You need to see him without the jacket.
I see it right next to it. Oh no! Oh no!
You know, I can't really tell if it's fabric, duct tape, or paint.
It's
all the above.
Well, around the nipples.
No, that's flab. Is what it is.
Mean. It's like a Tron outfit. But like with like duct tape as
you know what the
suspenders
he's, exactly.
He's got his cowboy hat with the double J that actually blinked back in the day.
God.
It was the old like his original one that he brought out for sentimental reasons, I guess.
But it still does blink.
He is
and it still
he
blinks.
Turned it on eventually.
He is in decent shape for a man.
Kind of.
His age.
I was gonna say that's the thing. It's like he's actually in decent shape.
If he came out in his old gear before he retired. It would have been a lot cooler to see Jeff Jarrett in the ring.
Yeah.
But this was just came off to me as more of a, are we making fun of him? Is he making fun of himself?
Yeah.
Why is he doing this?
He's got to be making fun of himself a little bit in this. I mean, you got to be self-aware. You can't wear a cowboy hat. You know what? I don't know enough Texans. Maybe I'm wrong about this. I don't know if you can wear a cowboy hat. It's not be
can serious. Can I redeem Jeff a little bit?
He was a credible wrestler. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
He did come out the following night on Raw, wearing more sensible clothing. A lot more like when he was on top at TNA. And actually ended up saying that it was time to get the duet that we were promised the night before.
Oh, God.
With Elias?
And, huh?
With Elias?
Well, he came in and interrupted Elias.
Oh, okay.
And as he goes to do that, you get over the loudspeakers. Oh, you didn't know? The Road Dogg. who started out as his roadie, the roadie, because Jeff Jarrett had a country western singer theme gimmick. And Jesse James, the road dog, was the actually did perform the vocals on his hit country song, Alone With My Baby Tonight.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
So well, the why two did you air quotes it? On hit?
Because that was how they presented it back in the day on TV.
It was a legit hit. Everybody had a hit country song back in the day.
I mean, I have a soft spot in my heart for Alone With My Baby Tonight because back in the Loud Idiots days of going to indie wrestling shows one night, we did serenade Mr. Jarrett with our rendition of his song.
That's
of
right.
Of course,
that's
yes,
right.
And that's and why he threw, retired.
He got really ticked off.
Actually, I went home with a piece of the guitar that he broke over Abyss's head from that match.
As very did
nice.
I.
Nice. There's plenty to go around.
Yeah, we saw, you know, No Way Jose show up and, like, conga in and conga out.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see any other highlights.
Kofi Kingston, once again, trying to find a creative way to stay involved in the match when he got thrown out.
Yeah, he had a couple. Did a weird kind of, like, walking on his hands slash... like that one of those weird tumbly things with Xavier Woods.
Yeah.
And actually we neglected to mention it, but Naomi in the Women's Royal Rumble actually had a pretty cool bit where she walked on her hands and got up to the barrier. There were a couple of the only 1 foot touched moments. Yeah. But it was fun. The ending was kind of weird. R-Truth was supposed to be the 30th entrant, but he got assaulted at the top of the ring while he was rapping by Nia Jax, who, Frank, if you don't know, is a female wrestler. And she knocked him out and went in and took his spot.
And started clearing house.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Interesting.
Which I find very odd because it's like, oh, okay, so you're just allowed to do that? We're going to act like she's now an entrant?
She was next to last in the women's, right?
They allowed Becky to go in and she wasn't supposed to be in it.
But
so.
She got approval from Fit Finley, who may or may not have had authority to give approval. But at least there was somebody wearing a suit that said, okay. Nia Jax just clocked another dude and walked in.
Yeah.
But it didn't really matter because she ended up getting eliminated. And it came down to, I believe, Strowman and Roman Reigns. Not Roman Reigns. Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins.
I'm terrible with that for some reason.
They're easy to confuse. They have that greasy long
locks. The greasy
locks.
Hair. They used to all come out in the SWAT team outfits.
Yeah,
but in the end, Seth Rollins won, Seth Rollins is going to WrestleMania, and he will face either Brock Lesnar or Daniel Bryan. We do not know yet.
Oh, well, that's potentially going to be very exciting or meaningless.
Yeah,
you pick your.
Either way, it's for the title. So
very cool. All right, well, thank you for recapping for us. This was good. I think we're going to save Rent for maybe later on in the show, which was up against Royal Rumble, which I still find delightful. Let's
do the Pro Bowl now, right?
Yeah, this is the Pro Bowl for the rest of the show. No, I'd like to segue to The Bachelor. I've heard amazing things about what's going on this season of The Bachelor. Can you clue us in a little bit, Michelle?
Well, every year is the most dramatic season ever of The Bachelor.
It keeps up ratcheting.
I don't really know how in depth of inappropriate topics we're allowed to go in on this. You can always edit it out.
Yeah.
Okay, so the big thing
Someone enlighten me, because I've never watched an episode of The Bachelor.
Okay. You don't know, so not even know the mechanics of it?
Oh, wow. Okay, wild. They're on like season like 20-something. There's like a bunch of babies out there that have been created because of the show now.
People were actually born because
they
of the show.
They have Instagram accounts, and they have more followers than all of us included.
There's
an unborn baby that has more followers than probably all my friends combined.
That's awful. That is terrible.
Yeah, that baby's going to come out making money off ads.
Yes.
Yeah. It's crazy.
The baby already has tickets to Fire Festival. Hey!
Ooh, foreshadowing.
Yeah. All right, so the basic structure of the show is it's an elimination reality show, right?
But it's about love, and it's not just a show, and it's not a game. It's a journey, and it's an experience, and it's marketed very much in that way. And the producers do not let you say certain words. There's a whole lot of rules. It gets
really
weird.
Completely not
scripted. Like, it's no, totally isn't scripted at all. but it gets weird. So pretty much, like, it's either if it's a bachelor, it's a dude. If it's the bachelorette, it's a girl. I think they start with 30 eligible people that, you know, you're going to date. And each week they have to narrow it down and they give out roses. So, and then eventually at the end, you get to stay if you get the rose. So, but this year's big deal is that the bachelor is a virgin.
I'm not laughing at his virginity. I'm just laughing that it took them 20 seasons to be like, virgin. Do it. Yeah.
Well, you know, they've done a lot of contestants that are like, that's their, like, instead of giving women job titles, they've had people be, oh, they're twins or, you know, something else weird or virgin or Canadian. And that's just their defining feature. This is your identifier. Yeah. There was a girl one year that dressed up as a dolphin, but she said, or no, she dressed up as a shark. Said she was a dolphin. She's actually from Secaucus.
Oh, we could get her on the show.
Makes sense.
No, she lives in California now because she was on The Bachelor, and now she's famous.
Oh my God!
So, but yeah,
was her technically her shark dolphin?
So technically, she's a shark, but she identifies as a dolphin.
Yeah,
that's fine. That's reasonable. It's 2019. All right, cool. So yeah, and it's an elimination thing, and eventually you find your true love, and everyone who ever got together on The Bachelor stayed
together.
It's
totally still married. There have been no ugly divorces. No one's ever cheated on each other or taken back what they said and chose the other woman that they sent home the night before. That's never happened. That happens all the time. They do really messed up shit to some of the people on the show where it's like, but boom, there's a camera, and you didn't know. You're getting broken up with right now on live television.
Yeah, so it's pretty messed up.
But like, you don't have your cell phone the whole time you're there. You're not allowed to like contact your family. You don't have any sort of like technology. I think people like take books and do their hair, and that's just kind of your life for 8 weeks. And that's why they always look so good. So like, if I didn't have my phone, I'd probably look amazing all the time. But I have a phone. I have a laptop, both in front of me, and I eat a lot. So
it's like, for any wrestling fans who are still listening and like glossing over the Bachelor,
it's wrestling but in ball gowns.
It's basically where they got the idea for this Mandy Rose Jey Uso Naomi love triangle story.
All right, yeah,
they were doing
yes. All right,
but it really is. They had WWE come on once for the Bachelor, and they taught the girls how to. I forget who it was. One of the it wasn't Mickey, but it was one of the like very OG like women wrestlers came on. Because Pretty Boy Pitbull was a contestant once.
Really?
Yeah, he was on The Bachelorette. I forget his real name.
Yeah.
Well, it's not Pretty Boy Pitbull is not his Christian name. I'm sorry, I shouldn't assume that he's Christian, but
yes.
So I'm assuming that was the name he was baptized.
He didn't win.
Shocking.
The Miz probably won.
He wasn't even on the show, and he still won.
Miz wins all the reality shows.
Including his own?
Yeah.
No.
And that's the one exception. That was a writer in his contract. All right, cool. So, yeah, there was some... beyond the fact that this is the most scandalous episode, or the most...
it's the most dramatic season ever. That's what Chris Harrison says every year.
But I think this time was true, because apparently last week's episode was, like, the only episode of The Bachelor that did something right.
Oh, yeah. No, they actually... one of the contestants told like her story, like her survivor story, in which when she was in college, she was sexually assaulted.
Yeah.
And she like told him about it. However, what they did and how they like did it was fine. His face just like glazed over. And I'm like, dude, like you obviously knew what they were going to talk about before they filmed this. Yeah. Where I'm like, can you show a little bit more compassion? And it's like, you feel bad because you know that she's scripted to be on the show as well as someone else is scripted to be on the show, because they are both beauty queen pageant winners and they hate each other.
Oh,
well, that's
God.
The thing. I mean, you're hiring these beautiful people. You're not essentially hiring actors.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. You know, so the idea of emoting and being upset that they're not actually turning
on. And
that on.
Glazed look on his face could be his concern.
It could have been. That's true. Sal. They didn't
Thank
really...
you for demonstrating on this podcast what a glazed look looks like. Be.
Nobody had to react. I was just doing it.
Yeah. Like, they didn't do bad with the story of it, but I wouldn't say that they did great. But it was probably out of everything they've done, because they've had, like, some scandals before of, I don't know if you heard about it, I think it was, like, 2 or 3 seasons ago for their summer show that they do, where they, like, put all these sexually charged hot people on an island and say, let's get crazy and fall in love.
Yeah, it wasn't, like, there's some drinking in
there. There's a lot of drinking, and they started limiting alcohol beverages and stuff like that after this happened. Where
that was the actual Bachelor?
That was The Bachelor in Paradise. Oh, it's a whole franchise.
Yeah.
So.
Well, no, I'm seeing... Most of my exposure to these dating shows, these reality romance shows, comes from commercials I see during WWE for Temptation Island.
Yeah, so it's like Temptation Island, but you know, with previous cast members that people have grown attached to.
Okay.
So I'm not proud of how many people I follow on Instagram. I'm really not.
Yeah.
So it's MTV's The Challenge for The Bachelor.
Yes.
So a couple years ago it was really bad. There was something.
Yeah.
The thing is,
whatever it was that happened, like the woman that was involved said, she was like, everyone's blowing this out of proportion. She's like, I know what happened. Like, I was there. Like, I'm not mad at him. Like, no one. Like, she's like, I wasn't taken advantage of. But like, it was just really like, I very much think there was a lot of racism involved in it, because the guy that was being accused was black, and she was a white girl from Miami. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, and the whole thing has got this pall over it of this is for entertainment.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, at one level, you're like, all right, I understand that these people can make their own choices, but they are being put on display. This isn't a scripted, like an officially scripted actual soap opera.
No, but they do things on purpose to make certain things happen.
Right. And that's like, really weird.
Like, having two contestants from the same, it wasn't Miss America, Miss USA, or whatever, come on the show with the knowledge that they hate each other.
Yeah.
And then sticking them in a house together. And he doesn't really have a choice about certain people he can send home or not. Like, probably about half the time he gets to make the decision. The other half, it's like, well, you need to keep X, Y, and Z for the plot of the show.
Right.
And then the rest you can pick yourself.
Right.
So, but you have to keep these ones. Again, there's a lot of issues of race in the show, in which we've only ever had one bachelorette of color. Mm-hmm. I think there's only been one bachelor, and it was that douchey soccer player dude, Juan Pablo, that everyone hated. He was, like, the worst bachelor ever, just because he was an asshole.
Right.
So he, like, made so many women cry, like, in not great ways. I didn't watch that season, but, yeah. There are 3 women that I'm 100% convinced that he's being told he needs to keep them, because one girl, she's from Nigeria. And he's never. We don't see him talk to her at all. Like, we
and
never.
You get to stay.
You get to stay.
Never anything to her.
I've never spoken to you or had a conversation with you. But here's a rose. You can stay, because the producers told me we can't just have 15 white women on the show.
Counterpoint. He is a virgin, adult male virgin.
He's like 26, I think, by choice.
Right.
Because
that's fine.
Wow, he's 26 by choice.
Well, technically, he's actually 47, but he identifies as a 26-year-old.
I know we could do that.
I had a very dark way to go with this, but we're going to let it go. But, like, no, he may be super shy, in which case he may like the Nigerian woman the most that he's not talking to. But
that's,
he's like,
true. It might be, but the thing is, it's happening like multiple times. So she, like, and you can see it, and people are talking about it a lot. There's one girl who's Latina. And he's never talked to her either. Or, you know what? They might be talking to him and they're not showing it, though.
Right.
So, same with, there's one girl who is, I'm not sure if she's part Indian or some sort of Middle Eastern. They didn't tell us anything about her.
She's not 100%
anything. She's not white. So, everyone else on the show, blonde and white, blonde and white, blonde and white, highlights, white.
Close enough.
Close.
Yeah.
One redhead still there.
Weird.
I know. Wow.
What a
they
freak.
Usually get cut the first night.
Really?
Yeah, the redheads don't stick. So.
Heard it here first.
This isn't one of those shows where the whole thing is already done and we're just watching.
Oh, yeah, it's done. I could Google it right now and see who would win. But
somebody would have spoiled it, yeah?
Yeah, no, there's spoilers all over the place.
Okay.
So, but I just avoid
it. Isn't everybody bound by a gag agreement?
Well, yeah, but I think if you're angry
enough. Yeah, but like, hey, people figure it out.
So then this thing kind of writes itself. If they're going to. let's say he is having conversations with these people that never show up on camera. The reason they don't show up on camera is because they're not building the plot. So you basically know what's going on.
Yeah.
So you could cut out entire, like, episodes of this thing, but just go into
It's like Dragon Ball Z.
Exactly, like Dragon Ball Z.
They edit it so much where it's like, it looks like something terrible and shitty just happened between two of the girls. It never happened.
Yeah.
But they just slice and dice it all up and whatever and make it look like drama all over the place.
The more I hear about this, the more parallels I'm drawing, because I'm binging like all the seasons of Hell's Kitchen right now. It kind of sounds like it all works the same way.
It's a reality show.
All reality shows work
whether
the same
it's
way.
You know, your reality love life, is a misnomer. Cooking, wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've seen, I think it's Hell's Kitchen. There's some stories are like in the British version and in the American version, and you could tell that in the American version it's ramped up to like 11. Everything is much more angry and dramatic. No, it's not.
So it's The Office.
No, you're talking Kitchen Nightmares.
Yeah, that's the one where like it's the same Gordon Ramsay. Sometimes it's the same restaurants.
He's a lot nicer on UK.
Yeah, in the UK he's like he's occasionally like harsh with people, but like.
But on the US he's screaming at everybody.
Everyone constantly, even the Swedish Chef. One of my favorite YouTube videos. Have you ever seen that?
No.
I don't think so.
Gordon Ramsay and the Swedish Chef.
No way.
Look it up. It's great.
I don't remember if it was Gordon Ramsay. I thought I saw somebody that was surprisingly supportive of the Swedish Chef. I'm wondering if they did two of them.
He goes back and forth in this bit.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And Sweetums is there for those of you who are Sweetums fans. I know you all are. Bing.
Is so there a Sweetums chef?
I think he's the sous chef, if I recall correctly. I can't quite remember. So Bachelor, I don't know. I'm surprised that they covered something as serious as sexual assault without completely walking away with egg all over their face, neck, head, shoulders.
You didn't finish the episode.
At the end, it gets worse.
There's this egg fight.
The egg fight.
Yeah, it happens.
Legendary egg fight. All right. Are we good with this? Move on to the next topic?
Oh, no. Joe? I want to stay on
the show. Oh, yeah. I'm good. That was pretty much it. I just wanted to bring up there's issues of racism in the show. He's a virgin by choice. And he's not very charismatic. I don't really see the appeal. I also don't really see the appeal of a virgin either.
Oh, 26-year-old virgin. I don't think there is going to be a lot of appeal.
No, all these women are crazy over him. Spoiler alert.
It turns out he is the Nigerian.
Oh. It's an elaborate
hoax.
Yeah.
So, there's one girl on here who's never been kissed.
What's happening? None of these are judgment calls on the people who are like that.
Is it Drew Barrymore?
Just as a
but
show.
But it's just like, how did you, like, I guess she applied, and that was her gimmick of how to get on the show, where it's like,
ironically, not a virgin, though.
You know what?
Wow. It's a pretty woman scenario.
you do kind of, like, think that at a certain point in your life, you must have, like, tripped and fell lip to lip with somebody else. Just law of averages says that.
Yeah, it's...
Anything else would just be sad.
No, what was I going to say about this? Booze. Oh, I got to close some of these tabs. Hold on one second. So, Fire Festival, I definitely want to bring up. Serial Killers. How many of us have... do you guys watch the Serial Killer Netflix shows? Anybody?
Which ones?
I watched The Staircase or Stairwell.
I've heard about that one. I didn't watch it. I watch more of the spooky church stuff.
Okay.
Like with the nuns that got killed.
Oh, I saw that one.
Did you watch that one?
That was really good.
Keepers? That was really good. Oh, God. I cried.
I'm not getting recommended the right things on Netflix.
No. Oh, that was so good.
Let's start a thread on the HQ and start that up because we want to get one or two more people who've watched one. Okay. So we got the Keepers, Stairwell.
I started the, I forget what it's called, but the Ted Bundy one.
Yeah, I'm going to watch that.
I watched the first
two. Oh, my God.
Episodes.
He's so hot.
Oh, my God. It's just like that show, You. Oh, my God. Like we were talking about last week after the show ended.
Yeah, I don't understand why people think that.
Good-looking men that are serial killers.
Don't cast Zac Efron as Ted Bundy.
Just don't cast Zac Efron.
Also that. Also, don't bleach his hair.
All right.
I saw articles online today where Netflix is pleading people not to lust after Ted Bundy.
Is Zac Efron Ted Bundy?
Yes.
What? All right, are we talking about this now? No, we can't.
No, because I have nothing else to say
about
it.
All right, let's bookmark it. We'll talk about it soon. Fire Festival, I don't think this is going to be topical after this week, so I know nobody else has seen it, but I want to bitch about it for a little while.
Bitch, Frank, bitch.
All right, so outside of live television, There's this thing called Netflix, which streams TV. And also Hulu, maybe you've heard of it.
I think I've heard of it.
There are two documentaries going on right now. They've actually been out for like a couple of weeks now, and they've been all the rage. The Fyre Festival documentaries. They're dueling documentaries. Hulu has one, and Netflix has one.
Are either of them available on Vudu?
Maybe eventually. Okay. Do you know Vudu is a thing, apparently?
I use Vudu.
Of course you do. I don't know, those meant to be insulting, but I don't know.
I believe there's a Mogo.
All right. But anyways, the Hulu one and the Netflix one. Do you know what Fyre Festival is?
I know nothing about this.
All right. This
I've heard of this.
All right. Fyre Festival.
I know what Fyre Fest is.
Yes.
Can I do a description?
I was like, she's way too happy about this.
It was just really funny because it's all these rich people and their hopes and dreams were ruined. Yeah. Who was it that organized it? It was
Billy McFarlane and Ja Rule.
Yeah, all right.
Can't say it without laughing.
Pretty much, they're like, let's have our own music festival on a private island.
So it's like Coachella.
Yes,
exactly.
It was Coachella, but on a private island. So they had no idea what they were doing. Organized nothing, basically. The people show up, a bunch of bands like bounce at the last minute. I remember Blink-182 was supposed to play.
Yeah.
And they the one guy was like, I have a bad feeling about this. Never mind, I'm going to pull out of this.
So effectively,
this is a group that hasn't been relevant in years.
I saw them like 2 years ago back up.
Just saying, again, hasn't been socially relevant in years.
True, I guess so.
Let me just say, I know, Ken, in your personal life, semi-personal life, you have some experience with bad convention promoters and bad convention experiences. This is very much the same thing.
I get it.
So effectively it was an attempt to make a Coachella or a Lollapalooza or a Woodstock, I don't know how far back I have to go, but like a music festival for the Instagram generation, effectively. And it was all like the word of mouth was spread by social media influencers. So Kendall Jenner was like the big first person to do it, and a bunch of models and a bunch of people on social media who were doing this. The Jerry Media Group, because I won't say their full name, were the people who did the social media outreach for the thing. And it was a disaster. I found out about it as it blew up last year. And these are like rich people who spent thousands of dollars for tickets on an island that was supposed to be Pablo Escobar's island.
No.
Yes. And instead of the like elaborate package that they were offering, they spent $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 for a ticket. They were in like actual shelter tents, like left over from, I think, Hurricane Harvey. Shelter tents. There was no infrastructure on the island. They were given like bread with a slice of cheese on it for meals.
It was pretty much like they were the children that were separated from their parents at the border.
Yeah, it really was like a far less tragic version of that.
Yeah, it was, because these were like adults and they chose to go there.
There's so much schadenfreude in this, because you look at the people who go.
So it's Coachella and Woodstock in one.
But like, instead of like people kind of in Woodstock getting together and like shaking hands.
They were forced into it, they didn't have a choice.
Literally paid for like extravagance and got nothing. And so there's a lot of like, you know, hilarity to see this. But what we're talking about, not so much at the Fyre Festival, but these two documentaries, they got both released. Netflix was hyped for a while. Hulu beat them by days and put out their documentary. And I watched it, and I watched the Hulu one first and then the Netflix one. And it is interesting. The Hulu one, so this is my review. It's very far better produced. Watch the Hulu one.
Did they take different approaches to
it?
Or?
They did slightly different approaches, but significantly different for certain reasons. Hulu was better approached. It was a narrative, a chronological narrative. So you get to know a little bit about Billy McFarlane, the guy who badly arranged this whole festival, and how much of a sociopath he was, how he thought he knew it. Like, he thinks of himself as an entrepreneur, but he isn't. Ridiculous.
Peter brought it up earlier. I know a lot of convention promoters just like that.
Give that person access to like Ja Rule and social media influencers and millions of dollars, and you get that. So it follows him, and there's a little behind the scenes stuff and interviews. It was a mess, as we've described. At the end of that documentary, they do interviews with Billy McFarlane as well in this interview. And this is a little bit of the controversy, because the makers of the Hulu documentary paid Billy McFarlane for his interview. So people are like, this guy is such a bad guy. You paid him money? But without going into too much details, they drag him in the interview to his face. They ask him, why did you lie about this? Why did you lie about that? What's going on? And he's like being very defensive and evasive, but like, and you could tell he's getting uncomfortable during the interview. Like, he didn't expect it to be this bad. And they have some more back behind the scenes footage that they had to pay for. Otherwise, you would not have access to it.
Kind of like the festival itself.
Yes. You
know, he didn't expect it to be that bad.
Exactly. So at the end of that documentary, and at this point, I already knew there were two. At the end of the documentary, one of the major culprits and the people who put this thing on, you know, all the people who enabled him during the time, Ja Rule in a way, he may not have known exactly what was going wrong, but there was a part where, like, they knew there was no buildings for people to be in there day before people landed. They could have canceled. The day before Fyre Festival started, there was a hurricane, or, like, at least a very bad weather event.
It was like a tropical storm of some sort, yeah.
You could have said, hey, this is our reason, we have to stop. Please don't go on a plane and land here and be stranded. But they let people come and be stranded. So, like, at some point, everybody was a little bit culpable. The social media team that they had hired, which is the Jerry Media Group, you probably found them on social media as Fuck Jerry. That group one of the people who are kind of like enabled this to go wrong. At the end of the Hulu documentary, they say that they kind of give the history. It's sort of like a where everyone is now, what happened to Billy McFarlane. He is currently serving a jail sentence, jail term. What's happening to Ja Rule? He's disavowing everything and created his own company that effectively does the same thing that the Fyre app was supposed to do. What happened to the social, a bunch of other people and the social media group? They're making a documentary. It should be released any day now. That's how the Hulu documentary ends. It's talking about the Netflix mm-hmm. documentary, which was made by the Fuck Jerry group, the Jerry Media group. So, and it is, you wouldn't have known it if you didn't know it. Because if you didn't see it, it comes off strangely, like a lot of people are like, how could we have known? How could we have known? That's almost like the refrain through that Netflix documentary. Huh. I think there is some truth to that. I don't think everyone, like in your company, you don't necessarily know everything that's going on. But again, day before, no buildings, you knew, right? So there was a lot of how could we have known in the, a lot of like excusing. And there's a lot more stories that are salacious in the Netflix one, including one ridiculous story about the producer who was willing to perform oral sex on a customs agent to get water released for the festival.
Well, that actually sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fairly noble.
Yep. Yes. In a way, the people I heard talking about it said those words. That's someone you want on your team. You want that guy on your team. Yeah. So
I mean, it depends on the customs agent.
But in terms of inappropriateness, some people are criticizing Hulu for the money that went to McFarlane, but at least this one is being funded by one of the people, or the groups of people who made the who made this disaster.
Yeah.
It's definitely worth your time, but you're going to have to, somebody asked me in the fan club, how many if you took a drink every time they said millennial, how soon before you were dead? And you would not make it 15 minutes into the first one.
Oh, wow.
Because everything was millennials, millennial, 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 millennial. Wow. It wasn't necessarily, I feel like they could have done a lot by saying a certain type of millennial, the obsessed Instagram following will spend $10,000 on a plane ticket to a festival that has not been proven. They're the ones who are just shake your heads about, but ridiculously salacious and amazing.
I have to see this now, I think.
I think you'll enjoy it. I think you'll especially enjoy the Hulu one because they whip out some of the weirdest sound effects and like references. They bring up characters from Parks and Rec a lot because there is a Tom Haverford and what's his name? Jean.
Oh, John Ralphio. I love John Ralphio.
They bring them up and like, yep, that's them. That's exactly
John
who
Ralphio
they are.
Is the best character in that series.
So good. I highly recommend if you have time. Definitely the Hulu one, Netflix one as a sorbet, not even a sorbet, the opposite of a sorbet, mud. Put mud in your mouth to just make it disgusting.
The whole thing really is just, it makes me worry about the culture that we've created where people really do believe anything they see on social media.
Absolutely. Yeah, and this kid, this guy, Billy McFarland, I'm sure he's going to come back on his feet.
Yeah.
If he serves his entire sentence, I'd be surprised. And the best thing about the Netflix one is I think a little bit more it does deal with the real victims of this. We all laugh at it because, like, you know, they're trust fund kids who lost their money. Not all of them, of course, but, you know, whatever. But, like, the island itself, those people who worked endless hours to try to make this a reality even though they had no choice, they were never paid. And that's... Yeah. Horrible for them. Woman lost thousands, and it's so frustrating. But speaking of frustrations, I think our last story of the episode is Pete. You're going to bring us a little bit through Rent.
Rent live on Fox. Yeah. So there's been a trend lately. I think you may have noticed of musicals being done live on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Sound of Music on NBC started it, I think?
Yes.
This current trend?
Yep.
Oh.
And usually it's annually or semi-annually, a lot of the networks, NBC and Fox mostly now.
Yeah.
I think there was The Wiz was once done.
The Wiz did. They did The Wiz.
Peter Pan.
That's right.
Fox did Grease and Rocky Horror.
Yeah, I remember Grease. I don't remember Rocky Horror.
Rocky Horror was actually pretty good.
I actually enjoyed it.
Last spring, NBC did Jesus Christ Superstar.
That's right, with John Legend. Right.
And they're following it up this spring with Hair.
Oh, all right.
But they made Hair the movie, and now they're doing TV special.
They made Jesus Christ Superstar.
They made Rent the movie.
They're doing everything.
Yeah. Peter Pan has had several movies. And
things only have like 3 months shelf life.
I don't think Sound of Music was ever a movie.
No. All right, but Rent was.
Wiz was.
Yes.
But Rent. Rent, for those of you unfamiliar with it, was the Eric Larson.
Yeah, I think so.
Or Peter Larson.
Eric Larson is somebody the creator of the Savage Dragon.
No, but I believe it's spelled. I believe it is Eric Larson, LARSON, not EN. EN is the Savage Dragon dude. ON.
Wow, we are really lost in the weeds right now. Keep going.
Okay,
it's the famous musical.
Yeah, musical about life in New York at the turn of the millennium. The
Jonathan Larson,
thank you.
No problem.
Going nuts on that one. As Trey Parker and Matt Stone put it so succinctly, everyone has AIDS.
That's right.
It's
life in New York in the 90s in the AIDS epidemic, or in one of the stages of the AIDS epidemic. Yeah.
This was a groundbreaking musical. It was
beloved.
The voice of a generation, really. Certainly the defining musical of the generation that grew up in the 90s.
And the story of how it even got to stage is a story in itself.
And it was a ripoff of La Boheme, actually, in much the same way that West Side Story was Romeo and Juliet.
Mm.
So NBC, I'm sorry, Fox did Rent Live going up against the Royal Rumble, which I think was completely planned.
Yeah.
This was, by most accounts, the first in this new crop of live musicals, live TV musicals, that failed.
It did it?
Yeah, most people. And it's hard to blame the actors for it. What happened was, apparently during the final dress rehearsal, the actor who was playing Roger, one of the two main characters in the movie, or
musical,
broke his leg.
Oh, man.
In the middle of the performance.
Oh, wow.
And the problem was they didn't have an understudy.
That's sort of reasonable because it was a one show. Yeah.
It's a one night only deal.
Yeah. They were probably considering that they were only going to have to do this once, but still, that's risky.
You'd want to have one or two people that like learn every part, like they can do every part. I'm not going to claim to be one of them, but there are people that are very talented at doing just that.
Well, I'm sure it was an eye opener for Fox.
Yeah. And hopefully for NBC too. And anybody that's trying to do this type of production.
So he broke his leg, and he was just out.
He was out. Right. I honestly don't know what happened to the rest of the dress rehearsal. But because there was no understudy, the decision was made that okay, instead of showing Rent live, as the title of the production says, we're going to air the video we shot of the last dress rehearsal. Yes, the one that the actor broke its leg in.
That's not good. Which
doesn't sound like an awful idea. You know, okay, maybe some Rent of the stuff's not, is not polished.
Yeah.
But if you know anything about live productions like this, a lot of times those final dress rehearsals, particularly in things where you're only going to do the show once, the actors will do what's called saving themselves. Which means they do not give 100% in that last dress rehearsal. They want to be fresh. They don't want to risk blowing out their vocal cords or having a sore throat the next night. So they'll hold back.
Oh, man. So it was a milquetoast taped recording of
Rent.
Oh, and that's sad.
If you know Rent, Rent needs passion.
Yeah.
Rent needs commitment.
That's unfortunate.
There's so many things just lined up to go poorly for this because, you know, any other musical, phoning it in wouldn't have been that bad.
The Alexander Graham Bell musical, it would have been fine. That's basically the whole gimmick.
That's hilarious.
But I'm
same thing with Jefferson, I assume, if they ever write that one. But yeah, so they air that, and as it turns out, the actor playing Roger was not completely bedridden. And what they ended up doing for the audience that was scheduled to be there, that bought tickets to watch the show.
Yeah, because you want a live audience for this, so that you could, like, in theater, so you could have that experience.
Well, they kind of had to do something for them on Sunday night. So what they ended up doing, apparently, is they showed the pre-recorded
video
that everybody across the United States and the world was watching at home on a screen. But at the same time, the cast was there doing it live.
For no one but the audience in front of
them. Yeah. Including the actor playing Roger, who performed the entire thing in a wheelchair.
Oh.
And, according to reports and the video that some people shot from their phones, which you can find online, the performance blew what the TV audience saw away.
That's so disappointing.
Blew it away.
Oh, man. That would burn me so bad if I was on the cast.
I can only hope that when this comes out on as a video release, that they actually put both of them.
Versions. That would be great.
Yeah.
I, from what I understand on social media, hashtag no day but last night was trending. That's No Day But Today is one of the iconic lines from Rent, one of the songs in Rent.
So before we get into the iconic lines from Rent and what happened to them, why didn't they just show all the guy in the wheelchair? Why wasn't he just in there the whole time?
That's an excellent question. I have to assume that it has something
ableism
to do with... Yeah. No.
Yeah, probably.
I
just
have
like
to assume,
the racism.
Yeah.
Is this ABC still?
Is it ABC
no,
or is it Fox?
It's
Fox.
Oh, well,
it's Fox. Network television, yeah.
No one ever associates Fox with racism, please. what? No, I honestly, I don't know. I have to assume that it was that they didn't know whether or not he'd be able to do that until late in the day, and they had to make the decision.
That's awful.
That's all I can think of. Because they did air a disclaimer, I guess, or a message from the cast explaining what happened the night before and the fact that they were going to be airing pre-taped instead of live. And Roger wasn't there.
So maybe he wasn't
there. So I don't think they knew at that point that he was going to be able to make it.
What a mess.
Just a mess.
Wow, that's unfortunate.
Which could have been, you know, avoided with one or two understudies.
Yeah. And you know what? It's a mess that you say you can't blame the actors for this, but like, it's if you didn't know what was happening, you blame the actors. Because you're looking at them and you're like, they're not trying. They're saving themselves.
I feel terrible for them because if you did not know the backstory, you're sitting there going, these guys are terrible.
Yeah.
Like, they're flat. Voices are cracking. the audio was mixed terribly because it was never intended to air.
Right.
So it was really sad for...
I also heard, just to make it a little less morose, there were some interesting lyric changes in the book.
Oh, sure. A lot of weird changes. They changed Hicksville. One of the characters from Hicksville, they changed that to New Jersey. Like, okay.
A lot of people are very offended by that.
No, I love it. That's accurate. That's good.
Well, there's like a bunch of discussion about it because there's a Hicksville, New York, Long Island that it's actually where they're supposed to be from, and people know that place. But they're like, man, now we'll just call it New Jersey instead. Why don't you just say Long Island?
Yeah. Staten Island, Long Island, you got plenty of armpits you could use. Long
Island. But why New Jersey? Yeah. Gosh, we're just.
Well, it wasn't New Jersey. They said Jersey.
No.
Oh, they said Jersey.
Well, no, it's important for the meter of the song.
Oh, okay.
Jersey fits.
Yeah.
It's like you could take the girl out of Hicksville, but you can't take the Hicksville out of the girl. You could take the girl out of Jersey.
You could
take the girl out of Long Island. It doesn't fit the same way.
Yeah, all right.
But I don't know an explanation for that. I'm going to assume that...
the mayor of Hicksville wrote letters.
Or that somebody decided that, you know what? Joe Schmo living in the flyover states isn't going to know that Hicksville is a town in... is the name of a town in Long Island, they're going to think they're talking about Hicks and that we're insulting them.
But they could have said New York instead of Jersey.
Hey.
The same amount of syllables.
You know, there were any number of options they could have gone with. I'm just... That's
just went with the possible explanation.
And there was another weird
one. They did one where a guy talks about Reason Says I Should Have Died 3 years ago. And they changed it to Reason Says I Should Have Died 6 months ago. It serves no purpose. So they made these changes for no reason. And I don't get it. But I think a lot of it speaks to the change in generations. You know, the change in perspective that we've got going on. Because this is a group of millennials performing a musical about Generation X.
Huh.
And it doesn't work the same. It's like asking a bunch of kids in the height of the 80s, like the Kids Incorporated kids, to do hair. Go on.
Oh, yeah, that would be very corny. But if they were kids, but as adults, that happens all the time. Kids in the 80s, people did put on productions of hair, and and they still do.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
It's going to be interesting to see a bunch of millennials do a production of Hair coming this spring on NBC.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like any of this. I don't see this as being a generational gap. I think this is just weird changes. Maybe it's because we saw the taped version. Maybe someone was like, you know what? Instead of Hicksville, I'm going to say Jersey to be cute. I'll say the real one when we're doing it real for real. I think that's probably more likely.
It's possible. It's entirely possible.
Hmm.
But yeah, that was a mess. And honestly, I'm kind of happy about it. So first of all, I don't think this was ever going to be a really good production of Rent.
Yeah.
I have yet to see a really good production from any of these.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like the exposure to live theater to the mass crowd. You know, there is something really unique about seeing a live production, even if you're not in that room.
Yeah, even if it's televised. You're
knowing that anything could go wrong at any moment.
It sure did.
And so many of these have gone off polished. And, you know, without much of a problem.
Well, Grease had a couple technical issues.
Yeah.
But, and then there was that time Hornswoggle showed up in the middle of this.
Yes.
The Sound of Music?
Yeah.
Well, no, that was scripted.
Oh, was it? Yeah.
Really, that followed the original script.
Yeah, it was a leprechaun-heavy story before the Nazis got involved.
It was a joint venture with the WWE, but it was still, you know.
Speaking of the, going back to what we were discussing on Near Mint, the old scripts.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yes.
No, if you ever read H.P. Lovecraft's original treatment for The Sound of Music.
I want to see this happen. You are joking.
Hillsborough Alive brings a whole new connotation.
The Sound of Music out of space. Oh my God, we got to do this. Starring Nicolas Cage. Full circle.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
oddly enough, that's how H.P. Lovecraft wrote it.
Yeah, no, sorry,
Nicholas Cage. And Nick Cage hadn't even been born yet.
It's so amazing. All right, so overall, in melodramatic TV, I think we give Royal Rumble good. That was a good experience.
Yeah, Bachelor. Right. I mean, this isn't that show.
Bachelor is always, I put it on in the background and wait for the drama to happen and fast forward.
There's a music cue.
The music
cue. Yeah, there really is. Like, you can just sense it.
Yeah, yeah, music. Fyre Festival, 1 out of 2 ain't bad. I think that's pretty good. And Rent, I don't even know if you can watch it again. We'll see if they ever release it on digital or DVD or whatever.
Yeah.
Or I think it's eventually supposed to land on Hulu, because Hulu has a page for it.
Oh, God.
That currently has all the promotional stuff and the preview stuff that they were running for it.
That's interesting.
But, hey, if you want Rent, Hulu also does have the movie version of Rent.
I've not seen the movie version. I've heard...
I didn't mind
okay
it.
Thanks. Yeah,
it wasn't
pretty good. I thought it was all right.
Yeah, there definitely is a... I'll say this for what you're saying, Pete. There's a zeitgeist for that. And I guess lots of things. Lots of... especially productions. Mm. Like, I don't know if Hamilton will be as cool in 20 years. Right, I just don't know if it'll work. It's got a moment in time, and it's always hard to recapture the magic.
Actually, real quick about Rent too. I mean, if you're hesitant about watching out of that because of issues, and you actually want to see a decent production, there are at least I think 2 anniversary live performances that are actually available too.
Oh, that's cool.
With cast members.
Very nice. Very cool. And then you could always watch the Arrowverse shows, which has a decent amount of red cast members on it.
Hey, listen.
It'll work. CW.
Is there more than one?
I think there's 2, yeah.
We'll have to talk about that more.
All right. Well, hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, like, follow, and subscribe. If you didn't, suggest it for an enemy. Let them like, follow, and subscribe. Bye.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.